Availability is the combination in many ways that we think of it as to how reliable something is and how quick it is to be restored when it fails. And so we use a variety of formulas to calculate this. Availability from a customer's point of view or the user's point of view is it ready to operate when we want it to operate? Is it working when it should be working? And so there's a couple different ways to look at availability, and we'll take a look at a couple of those different formulas and metrics and what they mean. The intent of all of these, though, is to take a look at where the trade-offs are. Can I make something very, very reliable and not worry about maintenance? Or can I make it rather failure-prone, but very, very quick and easy to fix? What's the right one for your particular product? And that will depend to a great deal on what's expected and what your capabilities are with the design. So the first one we'll look at is we commonly call inherent availability. Now, the subscript that's used here is an I, and in different references may use different ways of describing inherent availability. But it's basically the ideal state. And so it's after the system's been running for some period of time and all of the early bugs and installations and everything have been worked out, all the early life failures have sorted, and it's just on an ongoing basis, and this is our grand average, as good as it gets. And it also makes the assumption that the mean time to repair is just the wrench time, just the time it takes to actually do the repair. So as soon as the system breaks or fails, then we have the right person with the right equipment, with the right spare parts, and pretty quick and instant diagnosis, and they open the panel and make the repair and put it back together and back online. And so in practice, that rarely occurs, and we'll see that in some of the other measures. But here's the basic formula that we use day in and day out when we talk generically about availability, is the mean time between failures divided by mean time to repair and mean time between failures. And basically, it's taking a look at the ratio of when it's operating versus the total amount of time that the system is in existence. But it assumes that all of the logistics related and technical related delays to the system of executing repairs are gone. And so that's why we call it the ideal state or inherent availability. Now, the MTBF numbers, as you know, is the inverse to the failure rate, the lambda term, and the inverse to the mean time to repair is just an average inverse of the repair time, so average repairs, repair rate, I should say. And so the basic idea here is when you think of the trade-offs is if I make a product that is very, very reliable, so the chance of failure is very, very small, it doesn't really matter what the MTTR is, the mean time to repair, because we just won't be doing it very often, and it won't impact the overall number. So if a product is 5/9 of it reliable, and over, say, a year of time, it has a very, very small chance of failing over a year, then the probability or the impact of the repair time is minimized. On the other hand, if I have a system that is very easy to fix, and say I use the example of a bottling piece of equipment in a factory, filling juice bottles, that it failed pretty common, it failed frequently. It was trying to fill, say, 300 bottles a minute, so it was an exceedingly large and complex electrical mechanical system, and bottles would get jammed, for example, fairly routinely, on the order of minutes between jams. And so the ability to get the system restored to service quickly was built right into the design. So areas that were prone to jam were very accessible and safe to be around for the operator to spot and clear bottles that were jamming the system or out of alignment. And so in that case, I could create a very available system by creating a very small MTTR And it's really by design that I can spot and correct failures very fast. And again, as MTTR approaches zero, then our availability approaches one. So as MTBF approaches infinity, then we also have minimized the impact of mean time to repair, and we approach one for this equation. So that's one way to think through the trade-offs is, do I either make it very reliable, or I make it very repairable, very quick to repair, or some combination of the two? Now here comes more of the alphabet soup of these MT type things, and I'm going to have to look over my shoulder a few times here to make sure I got the right abbreviations and definitions of them. All right, so achieved availability is including the preventative and corrective actions. And so now, instead of just fixing the system, knowing exactly what to do and correct it, I'm including that hour we spent in a down state doing lubrication, for example, and doing preventative maintenance, say inspections or cleaning or lubrication type activities. But the alphabet soup here continues. Here I've got mean time between maintenance activity, and that MA is the mix of preventative maintenance and corrective maintenance. And then MMT is the mean maintenance action time. So I don't know why it's MMT, but it has all these other words in it. But it's basically for any of my preventative or correction time, it's how long do those take and what's the average of those. So it's very similar structure. Is how often does it fail, or scheduled or unscheduled, as MTBMA, and MMT is how long does it take to be restored, whether I'm doing preventative or corrective actions, or for whatever reason. And so it still makes some of the assumptions that we have the right parts available, we have the right technician available, those diagnostics can be executed fairly quickly. But it does include the preventative maintenance, which the inherent availability does not. And so it expands this slightly. So there's some functions of dealing with how long it takes to do corrective maintenance or preventative maintenance and how often those occur in these equations. But achieved gets us a little bit closer to what the equipment is going to see. It's still not actually what the equipment sees. In operational availability, there's a couple ways to measure this, and again here we're using MTBMA to denote both preventative and corrective maintenance, but it also includes downtime, mean downtime, and that's for all reasons. So if I'm waiting for a part to come out from the storeroom, if I'm waiting for the technician to fly in, if I'm working on the phone with the home office to do diagnostics, to sort out what to repair, all of that counts. Anytime the equipment is not running, it's down. And when it is running, it's up. And it's the ratio, essentially, of how often is it up and how often is it down. Now, in factories that have a lot of equipment that are well-sensored and monitoring and tracking every instant, every second of being up or down, it's really just the ratio of how long is it running versus how long is it not running and ready to operate. And so operational availability is much closer to what we actually experience. Now, some of the reasons we use inherent availability more often, especially in the design process, is that we're not controlling the logistics and the training of their technicians and diagnostic capability. Those are things that the owner operator of the equipment put in place and install, and they control the features of that. Now, certainly our company that's doing the design, say, of this bottling equipment would give best practices and guidelines, much like my owner's manual for my car, saying here's the types of things you should do for your maintenance of your system. But the basic idea is that when somebody's talking about availability, you really should ask them, which one are you using and why? Now, inherent availability is the preferred one for design and sales teams because it gives us the highest availability. But we should really understand and reflect the decisions that the logistics system is going to have to make to store parts, for example, and how that impacts availability. I think it being fair to our customers is understanding the decisions that they need to make and how to best tailor those to their circumstance goes a long ways towards getting happy customers that achieve the availability that they're looking for. And so part of our role as reliability engineers might be in helping in setting up spares allocations and spares systems and warehousing and availability, but also diagnostics and training and lots of other activities that go into how well we can execute on the maintenance side. In the next section, we're going to take a look at another broad area of maintenance and availability, and it's really on the maintenance and testing analysis of the activities we get involved with maintenance.